Take your Bibles tonight, Luke chapter 5. We're starting in verse 1. I just want to remind you of a couple things we talked about in chapter 4, just so you can so I can set the stage for what's going to happen tonight. And by the way, I think what happened in John chapter 1, where Andrew and Philip were following John the Baptist, and John pointed out the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, and Andrew and Philip followed Jesus, and then they went back. Andrew went back and found his brother Peter, said, "Peter, we found the Messiah," and brought him to Jesus. And you remember Jesus, when he met Peter, he said, "Your name's no longer Simon, your name is Peter, a rock." And then Philip found Nathanael, said, "Nathanael, we found the Messiah." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Well, come and see." And Nathanael came to see Jesus. And Jesus said, "Hey, before Philip found you under the tree, a fig tree or sycamore tree, I can't remember which one it was, I saw you." And Nathanael said, "Then you must be the Messiah." I think all that happened before what we have studied the last couple of weeks happened in Luke chapter 4. I think Peter met Christ when his brother introduced him to him. And then, as we studied in chapter 4, when Jesus came into Capernaum, and he came on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. And remember, Capernaum was where Peter and Andrew's home were. It was where James and John lived. It was a city on the Sea of Galilee. And they were fishermen, and they fished there. And so Jesus came to Capernaum. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, taught there. There was a man there, as we talked about the last couple of weeks, with the spirit of a devil. And Jesus cast out that devil. Now, I think Peter, and probably Andrew and James and John, all four of them, because they were good Jews. I mean, these four guys were good Jews. They went to the synagogue. They kept the law. You remember when Peter had that dream up on the rooftop, and God told him to eat those unclean animals. Peter said, "I've never eaten an unclean animal." So that's why I say I think he was a good Jew, because he kept the dietary laws. I think he went to the synagogue. I think he was there on that Sabbath day when Jesus cast that the spirit of the devil that was in that man. I think Peter was there and saw it. Because we know after Jesus did that, where'd he go? He went to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law was sick. And he cast the sickness out of Peter's mother-in-law. Of course, Peter was there when that happened. Witnessed that. Andrew was probably there. Probably James and John. I mean, Peter probably said, you know, it would be like inviting somebody to our Sunday dinner. I mean, it was a Sabbath day. They'd left the synagogue, and Peter said, come on over to my house, and, you know, we'll eat. And so Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And then you remember what happened toward the end of the day. As the Sabbath was over at 6 p.m., what had happened in the synagogue had spread like wildfire throughout the city. And as we ended last week in chapter 4, everybody that had somebody sick in their family in Capernaum brought them to Peter's house, brought them to Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus laid his hands on every one of them and healed them all. And so every sick person in Capernaum came to Jesus while he was still at Peter's house, probably, and he healed every single one of them. And so we start in chapter 5 tonight, where Jesus is teaching, and let me just read verse 1. "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, the lake of Gennesaret was also called the Sea of Galilee. It was also called the Sea of Tiberias. Technically, it's not a sea. It was a lake. And Luke, the doctor that he was, and as precise as he was in describing everything because of his training, he never calls it a sea. He always calls it a lake. And this lake was 13 miles long, 8 miles wide. It was 680 feet below sea level. Because it was so far below sea level, it had a tropical climate around it. It was surrounded by very fertile soil, and there were all sorts of grains and fruits and other foodstuffs that grew around that lake. It was also a lake full of fish. It had a lot of fish in it. And so there were professional fishermen, people that made their living fishing and selling the fish for people to eat. And they ate a lot of fish back then, like Peter and Andrew, who was in the fishing business, like James and John. They fished in this lake. And so Jesus was standing there on the shore of the lake. People wanted to hear the word of God, and that's what Jesus taught. And they began to press upon him. They wanted to get close to him because they wanted to hear the word of God. They also thought, well, maybe he'll work some more miracles. If he works another miracle, I want to be up close so that I can see it firsthand. I want to have a front row seat. I don't want to miss anything. And so as they drew closer and closer to him, of course, he kept backing up because he wanted people to be able to see him other than the people just right around him. And he finally came, right up to the water's edge. And so in verse 2, the Bible says, Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And so again, it was impossible for him to stand on the shore with all these people pressing. So he looked out, he saw these two boats. There was nobody in them. Okay, now we know that one of these boats was Peter's because Jesus is going to get into it, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The other one was probably James and John. Okay, and because we're going to read about that a little bit later, too. Now we're going to read later on in this chapter in a couple of verses that the fishermen had fished all night. The best time of day to fish on the Lake of Gennesaret was at night, and the best place to fish was in shallow water, okay? But they had fished all night and caught nothing. Now, again, I always take the Bible literally. I think if they had caught a few fish, the Bible would have said they caught a few fish. I think when the Bible says they caught nothing, they didn't catch one fish. Not one fish. They caught absolutely nothing. And so the fishermen were washing their nets, which also includes mending their nets if there was holes in them. And so they were there by the sea, the side on the shore, washing their nets, mending their nets. Verse 3, and he, Jesus, entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and prayed him, asked Peter, that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So again, get the picture. Large crowd gathered around him. Jesus was the focal point. They were trying to get closer and closer and closer. They pushed him to the water's edge. Jesus saw the ship. It was Peter's. So he said, Peter, can I use your ship? Can I get in your ship? And would you just cast out a little bit of away from the shore? I could use it as a pulpit or a platform. And so Peter said, sure. And again, he'd already met him when his brother Andrew introduced him. He'd already seen what Jesus had did in the synagogue, casting out the spirit of the devil. He'd already seen him heal his mother-in-law. He'd already seen him heal every sick person in Capernaum. And so it was just natural when Jesus asked this question, Peter, could I use your ship? Peter would say, why, certainly. Why would he say no? I mean, after everything he'd already experienced, he said, yes. Just go ahead and get in. And Peter got in, and I sort of think Andrew got in, and I sort of think the crew of the ship got in, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But I know for sure Peter got in, and they cast off, so they pulled up anchor and pulled a little bit away from the shore. And Jesus sat in the boat. And remember, back in that day, when a teacher was teaching, they sat down. And so he sat down. Again, he was far enough away from the shore that now everybody in the crowd could see him and hear him, and he taught the people out of the ship. Now, Luke doesn't record what he taught. Other places Luke talked about or mentions what Jesus taught. But that's not the purpose for the account that Luke is giving us here in chapter 5. What's the purpose is what happened to Simon Peter, and what happened to Andrew, and what happened to James and John. And so He got in the ship, sat down, and taught the people. Now, some people might say, well, what a wonderful coincidence that Peter's boat was the one that was there, and Peter's boat was the one that Jesus got into. And again, I don't believe there's coincidences with God. I think it was God's plan that Peter's boat be there. I think it was God's plan that God was going to show Peter something, and Peter was going to respond to the call of Christ when he called him to fish for men instead of fish for fish. And so it was part of God's plan that Peter's boat be the one that Jesus got into. Just like in our life, sometimes things happen in our life and we say, oh, that was such a coincidence. I was just so lucky that I happened to be in that spot and got to see this thing happen or avoided this terrible thing that happened because, you know, it was just coincidence that I forgot my wallet back or my phone in the house and I had to go back into the house. It caused me to be 5 minutes late, and if I had left 5 minutes earlier, I would have been in this accident. You know, and we've all heard stories like that. But again, I don't believe there's any coincidence in the life of God's children. I believe it's all according to his plan. He's worked out the smallest detail in our life. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by coincidence. He's got a purpose for everything that he puts in our life. And God had a purpose for Peter that day, as we're going to see in just a second. And you know the story. You know what's going to happen. But he had a purpose for Peter. And so it wasn't any accident that Jesus was just standing on the shore right by Peter's boat. I mean, it was part of God's plan. Verse 4. I got my notes all out of sync here. Verse 4, now when he had left speaking, so when he got he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So he got done with his lesson. He said to Peter, hey, let's go fishing. Let's pull up the anchor, go out into the deep water, and cast out, let down your nets, and we'll catch a bunch of fish. Now again, Jesus wasn't, by profession, he wasn't a fisherman. He was a carpenter, okay? Peter probably knew that. Peter was the fisherman. And so Peter says in verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night. Now probably in the back of his mind he was saying, every good fisherman knows that you don't fish in the day. You catch fish at night. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. We didn't catch one fish. They're not biting. He said, you know, we've tried it. And again, Peter knew that the fish were caught in shallow water. And here was this carpenter saying, let's go into the deep water in the daytime. And let's let down the nets, and we'll catch a bunch of fish. And so again, I think Peter was trying to be kind. He said, Master, we've toiled all night and taken nothing. Are you sure you want to go? I mean, and again, that word master comes from a Greek word, epistata. And it means one who has the right to command. You see, when Jesus got into the boat and said, Peter, cast out a little bit from the shore, Peter, as he said yes, gave Jesus the right to command him, the right to be the captain of the boat that particular day. So he cast out away from the shore, dropped his anchor, and let Jesus use the boat as a platform. Now, here was Jesus saying, hey, I'm done teaching. Let's go fishing. We'll catch a draught of fish. I mean, just a great big bunch of fish. And again, Peter, the fisherman, said, well, I think it's a waste of time. I mean, we don't fish in the daytime. We don't fish in deep water. Are you sure you want to go? Because I don't think we're going to catch anything. He didn't say it, but that's what he was thinking. But I want you to notice what he said next. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, Peter had given Jesus the right to command. He had given Jesus the right to command. And when Jesus said, okay, let's go out to the deep water, let's cast out the net, we'll catch a bunch of fish, Peter said and thought, well, it's not going to do any good. We fished all night. We haven't caught a thing, single thing. Not one fish. Not one fish. But because you say, and I've given you the right command to command when I let you on the boat, when I let you use my boat. And again, how could Peter refuse? I mean, he'd seen Jesus cast out the devil. He'd seen Jesus heal his mother-in-law instantaneously, a miracle. He'd seen Jesus lay his hand on every sick person in Capernaum and heal every disease. Robin, you weren't here because you were in Awana last week. I mean, I painted the picture. Just think if Jesus went to McLaren, started at the 12th floor, I mean, what that verse says, he would go to every room in the hospital, and when he got done, there would be nobody left because everybody'd be well. They'd be home. They'd have to send the doctors home. They'd have to send the nurses home. Everybody was well. So Peter had seen all that, and Jesus said, okay, I want to go fishing. Peter said, I think it's a waste of time. I don't think we're going to catch anything. But because you have said it, I'm going to do it. Nevertheless, at thy word. See, a lot of times Jesus tells us to do things, guides us to do things. And we say, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's like, you know, the captain of the Lord's army telling Joshua, well, here's how we're going to take Jericho. Just march around it, blow the trumpets and shout. I'm sure Joshua said, I'm not, you know, I've had some military experience, not much, but that doesn't sound like a good plan. You see, the results are not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to be obedient. The results are God's responsibility. We don't have to worry about the results. We just have to be obedient to what God tells us to do. And so when Jesus said, Peter, I want to go fishing. Let's go out to the deep water, throw down the net. We're going to catch a bunch of fish. I don't think that's going to work, but because you said it, I've given you the right to command, to be the captain of this ship. At your word, I will do it. As we've made Jesus the captain of our life, that ought to be our attitude. What he tells us to do, whether we agree with it or not, whether we think it'll work or not, we just need to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to do it. Verse 6. And when they had this done, when they had cast out to the deep water, and by the way, notice, and when they. So it was probably Peter, Andrew, and maybe some of their crew, because it took more than one person to throw the net over. So I don't know if it was just Peter and Andrew, if they had some of their crew with them, but there was more than just Peter. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net began to break. So they threw the net over the side. And by the way, I don't think they had to wait an hour. I don't think they had to wait 30 minutes. I don't think they had to wait 5 minutes. Just like that verse says, and when they had this done, when they got to the deep water and they threw the net over, I think the net was immediately filled with hundreds of fishes. Didn't count them on this occasion. In John chapter 21, when Jesus told them, you know, they fished all night and caught nothing, Jesus said, hey, throw your net over on the other side. They counted 153 fishes, one boat that time. But this time they didn't count them, but there was a great multitude of fishes, so many fishes, in fact, their net started to break. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners. Now their partners were James and John, okay? James and John, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. So get the picture. They'd fished all night, both sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, James and John. They absolutely caught nothing. They went out the next day. You're not supposed to fish in a day. They went to deep water. You're not supposed to fish in deep water. But that's what Jesus told them to do. They threw their nets in, and they didn't have to wait 15 minutes. The nets were immediately full. They began to break. They called James and John out there. They began to put the fish in the boats, and there were so many fish. The boats begin to sink. Anybody ever been on a fishing trip like that? I mean, what did they do when the boats began to sink? They'd say, hey, we got to get rid of some of these fish and start throwing the fish out. I don't know. But they began to sink. Now, and look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it. Now, again, just get the picture. He fished all night and caught nothing. Now Jesus said, hey, let's go out to the deep water. Let's in the middle of the day or whatever time of day it was. And they caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He called him master before. I give you the right to command. When he says, I'm a sinful man, O Lord, you're God. You have to be God. I mean, I've seen only four or five things that you've done. You have to be God. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve to be in your presence, O Lord. Just depart from me. I'm unworthy to be in your presence, O God. Verse 9, for he was astonished. He was amazed at and all that were with him. So Andrew was, James and John was, if there were other members of their crew, and there probably were, when they saw it, they were amazed. They were amazed because they'd never seen anything like this before. They'd never been on a fishing trip like this before where they caught so many fish that the boats began to sink. At the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Now, look at the last part of verse 10. And Jesus said unto Simon. Now, by the way, he said it to Andrew. He said it to James and John. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Matthew records it in chapter 4. Where he approached both sets of brothers and he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They were fishers of fish. Jesus showed them that the fish were under his command. Again, they fished all night, caught nothing. They went out when they weren't supposed to be fishing and caught so many fish, the boats began to sink. How could they not see Jesus as God? And so when he said, hey, follow me. Follow me. You're not going to catch. I don't want you to be fishing for fish anymore. I want you to be fishing for men. And look at verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all. They gave up everything. I mean, they left their families. They left their business. They left their way of life. And they followed Christ. They became one of his disciples. They became part of that group that carried the gospel to the lost, to those that needed Christ. And they saw the miracle of God again because they were obedient. I mean, it was a miracle that they caught that many fish, and they'd never seen it like that before. It was a work of God. And it's true today because God hasn't changed. The responsibility for the results are always God's. Our responsibility is to be obedient. And so, I'm not responsible for the number of people that are coming to our church. I'm not. God is. I'm responsible to preach and teach what he tells me to preach and teach. What happens after that is in God's hands. He's responsible for the results. We just need to be obedient. We just need to obey. All right, that's my lesson. I don't usually let you out 10 minutes early, but, you know, whenever we have a crowd like this, and I know I've told you this before, I think about that story of the farmer. He came to church one night, and he was the only one there except for the pastor, just the two of them. And so the pastor got up to preach, and he said, well, you know, there's only one guy here, but I'm ready. And so he preached his whole sermon, preached for 45 minutes. He got done. He asked the guy, he said, well, what do you think? I'm not going to ask you, by the way. He says, what do you think? And the farmer says, well, now, preacher, when I go take my wagon full of hay out to feed my cows, and only one cow shows up, I don't give him the whole load. I feed him, but I don't give him the whole load. I gave you the whole load tonight. But thank you for being here. Let's stand. We'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.